Those of you that carry Bibles to a wedding service, let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis in chapter 29, and I'll be reading the first 20 verses. Genesis chapter 29 and the first 20 verses. The Bible reads, "Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. As he looked, he saw a well in the field. And behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of that well the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large. And when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would draw the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob said to them, 'My brothers, where do you come from?' They said, 'We are from Haran.' He said to them, 'Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?' They said, 'We know him.' He said to them, 'Is it well with him?' They said, 'It is well.' And see," or other versions say, "behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep." He said, "Behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go, pasture them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep." While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now, as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Jacob told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you for 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob saved 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Let us pray once again. Father, as we now turn to the scriptures, as we turn to your inspired word, we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us from your word. Remind us, O Lord, of our responsibilities in this holy institution that you have created, to which our two dear friends have entered. And therefore we pray for your Spirit to subdue us and hold captive our thoughts and minds, that they may not wander away from the things that you would want us to know and to learn. Speak as we hear your voice. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. One of the most popular category of television programs is what is known as a soap opera. A soap opera is simply a serial movie featuring drama and suspense in the storylines about the lives of multiple characters. The characters are usually depicted as attractive, seductive, glamorous, and wealthy, and typically focusing on the emotional relationships between these characters, their family life, their romance, and moral conflicts in the everyday lives and situations of these characters. When I was growing up, there were two very popular soaps, Dynasty and Dallas. I rarely watched them because we did not always have a TV at home. Those days, TVs were so rare in homes, and there were very few who could afford them. And the best we could do, and my parents could do, is simply to hire for a few months. And when they ran out of money, it was surrenders. The same way that you would go to a travel and tour company and hire a vehicle and use it for a number of days and take it back. And that's how TVs were in those days. And so I never finished any episode at all. The very first and last soap opera that I watched was one from Mexico. Some of you may remember it, no one but you. It was very popular, and I know many people were talking about it in public places. It was the talk of the town, at least in the area where I grew up. And no wonder Telemundo is very popular nowadays, which I've never watched any. I've no time for that. And I know there are many that love to watch that, even at work where they have TV sets. Now, I'm not trivializing scripture, I'm not trivializing biblical history when I say that the story of Jacob, Laban, Rachel, and Leah is like a soap. Full of drama, full of suspense, full of beauty, romance, and betrayal. Take, for example, the main character in this story, the patriarch Jacob himself. He's the sort of man whom men of the world would envy. He appears to be the man who gets everything that he wants. He's a dealer. He's getting his way to the top through treachery, deceit, and lies. And he seems to have achieved all that he has wanted in life: land, power, and an inheritance. And that's what many young people are longing for in life today. To live a totally self-centered life, seeing the world and getting its rewards and enjoying its glittering pleasures. But Jacob does not remain in his birth land to enjoy all that he had dubiously acquired at the expense of his own. When his deceit is uncovered, he runs for his dear life from his offended brother, Esau. And he doesn't get very far in his journey before he learns that God still had many things to deal with in his life. God appears to him in form of a dream about a ladder that stretches from heaven to earth. And the Lord stood above the ladder and said to Jacob, and the words are recorded in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." And Jacob woke up from that dream and called that place Bethel, meaning house of God. Certainly, God does things like that, making himself known to us in wonderful ways, even when we do not deserve it, just as Jacob did not deserve such mercy and such grace from God. And so God protects him, and God guides Jacob, and leads him to his distant family, where he meets the girl of his dreams, the daughter of a rich uncle, who is equally thrilled to see him. Now there's so much that we can learn from this dramatic narrative of Noah and God's redemptive grace, but I want to zero in on the words that we find in verse 20 and preach a message that I've entitled, "What a Man in Love Can Do." What a man in love can do. I thought I was going to hear an amen, especially from the ladies. Verse 20, "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her." It is not a hard thing, and as you read this narrative, that Jacob here is a man in love. He's a man deeply in love. And a man in love will do so many things for the sake of love. Incredible things, unusual things, splendid things, spectacular things, and Jacob does all that. And I'm sure that Kasoko has done something similar to that, and will continue to do something similar to that for the sake of love. And I believe that all of us who are married have done many things for the sake of love, and continue to do so for the sake of love. And young ladies, if your time has not yet come, if you are still waiting for a Jacob to find you, there are certain things that you must be looking for. There are certain things that will tell you. There are certain things that will make it very clear to you. This man loves me. That's the kind of man I want to get married to. Yes, I have no doubt that he loves me. Of course, this is not going to be exhaustive, but at least from this passage, there are 4 things that we are going to see a man in love will do. Number one, a man in love wants to spend private moments in the company of his beloved. He wants to do that. Jacob has made a long and lonely journey from Beersheba to Paddan Aram, and he arrives in the general vicinity of the city, weary, footsore, and homesick. He's tired. This is a journey that should have taken him no less than 2 weeks. There were no buses. Remember, he left home in a hurry because his brother was after his life. And so all that he had were probably the clothes that he was wearing and maybe a jar of water. And he took off. And here now he arrives in this place, and he spots a well, and he stops to rest, hoping to drink some fresh water and refresh himself. And like Abraham's servant before him, God has led Jacob every step of the way to the place where he should go. And he arrives at this well in the land of the east, we are told. And there are some flocks already sitting around this well and covered by a very, very large stone. A stone that was covering the mouth of the well. And there are some shepherd boys that are gathering there with their sheep. And Jacob converses with them. He asks them, "Where are you from?" "Well, we are from Haran." "Wow, that is the place where his uncle lives. Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" "Oh, yes, we do." "Is everything fine with him?" "Oh, yes, he's fine." And they look up and there is coming Rachel, and they say, "Behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep." Everything is simply looking up for him. And he sees Rachel approaching, and the inspired record in this account says that she was beautiful in form. And appearance, verse 17. She had the figure and the looks, and Jacob is stunned by her beauty. Stunned. Now remember that Jacob had no doubt heard so much from his mother concerning her own life. Maybe a dozen times, maybe 100 times, the story of how Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, found her, Rebecca, the mother, to Jacob. And how she and Isaac finally met. And so here is Jacob, in this far country, having gone to a well, having found out that that well is in fact precisely where his father and mother had sent him, and having found that his uncle Laban had a daughter who was a shepherdess. And are you picturing the pounding of the heart of Jacob here? She is the daughter of Laban, and she is walking towards the well. And what is it that should be going through his mind if you were Jacob and you heard all these stories from your mother? "And I met a man who had been sent by your grandfather to look for a wife for the man who is your father Isaac. And we met at a well with this man, and this, to cut the story short, that's how I married your dad." And this is the same well where Jacob has now come. And he's thinking to himself, "Oh, God is doing it again. I know she's the one. I know it's going to happen again." And what does he do? So he immediately tries to get these shepherd boys to water their flocks there and then and leave. That is what is happening here. Look at what he says in verse 7. "Behold," as soon as they told him, "Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep," he said, "Behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go. Pasture them." What does he want? He wants a private moment with Rachel, away from these other shepherd men, so that he could have a private conversation with her. And these men refused to go. But they said in verse 8, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well, then we water the sheep." So his attempts to try and get them away from him and to have a private moment with Rachel does not pay off. But the desire is there. He wants a moment alone with the love of his heart. And a man in love wants to spend those moments in private with his beloved. And of course, this is not the kind of privacy that compromises their testimonies at all, but there are certain things that can best be shared together when you are far from the earshot of people. I don't think that Kasoko and Victoria, whenever they wanted to discuss anything private and intimate, they would do so surrounded by all the friends. For all you know, some of them would even have their recorders on their smartphones turned on. I'm not saying that is what could have been happening. No, probably he would take her by the hand and says, well, there's something I want to talk to you about, and they'll stand somewhere, and all that you are seeing are their hands, and then the giggles and the laughter from private moment. Now, that does not begin and end in courtship. No, it continues on even in marriage. There are moments when the family sits together to watch TV, to talk and to pray together and to discuss the day and everything else that families talk about. But also there are moments when the husband and the wife retreat away from their children, away from other family members. There are moments when they take leave and go to some secluded place. Dream Valley is there. Go there for a day or two or more in private and spend moments with your beloved. And that is what he was looking for here. Jacob, he wants to send away these shepherds so that he could whisper things into the ears of his cousin, the one that he has fallen in love with. The second thing that we see a man in love do is that he tries to impress his beloved with his accomplishments. He tries to impress his beloved with his accomplishments. Now, while Jacob is in the middle of the conversation with these shepherds who are reluctant to go, probably among those shepherds there could have been one or two who were also eyeing Rachel. Say, no, what are you talking about? We'll be here. We'll wait until everyone else has come, and then we'll move the stone and then water the sheep and put back the stone, and that's when we'll go. Where do you want us to go? No, we are not in a hurry. And so as he's talking with these men, Rachel appears. And when Jacob sees Rachel at close range, there is an instant attraction, and he immediately gets to action. And he takes it upon himself to do what? To roll away this large stone, which at best can only be rolled away from the mouth of the well by five individuals. And he does it alone. No doubt this was a way to impress the young lady. One commentator says, Jacob immediately saw an opportunity to make a favorable impression on the lovely Rachel and also on her father. Making use of his great physical strength, he removed the stone from the well and proceeded to water Laban's flock. And so he not only does an impressive physical feat, but then he does something very kind. He waters the flock of his future father-in-law. He wants to make an impression. A man in love wants to demonstrate that, look, I'm capable of taking care of you. When a man is in love with a woman, he seeks her attention all the time if he's not open about it. He wants to draw our attention to something of his accomplishments, something of his abilities, something of his capacities. And it's important to understand that men are very objective, and they tend to believe that they need to prove their self-worth in terms of what they are capable of doing if they become your husband. I don't think you are interested in a man who has failed every exam possible and has never kept a job, and there's nothing much to show for his CV, and if anything, you know him to be so lazy that he can't even tie his own shoelaces. Go keep away from such a man. Here is a man who is trying to prove his worth. Five men have to move this stone, and he says, let me do it. We don't know how expanded his biceps were, but he moves that and simply moves it away. And everyone was aghast. Yeah. So they whispered to themselves. And he made an impression on our mind. That's what you are looking for. Of course, it's not a show of bravado. It's not a show of physique. It's not a show of power. But it's being who you are. And in being who you are showing forth who you are to the person that you want to marry, the person that you are interested in. It's not just about physical power. It's also about your spiritual abilities. Is he a kind of person who takes God seriously? Is he a kind of person who takes church seriously? Is he a kind of person who is involved in the activities of the church, who will not at the slightest excuse find the reason to keep away and stay away from church and from God's people? Has he got an impression upon your heart and mind that he's a God-fearing young man who is worthy of being your head, your husband? But thirdly, a man in love is not ashamed to show his emotions to his beloved. In verse 11, Jacob immediately identifies himself to Rachel. And what does he do? He kisses her. Verse 11, then Jacob kissed Rachel. And he wept aloud. I don't think there is anyone here who, when a woman that they have been admiring finally say to them, yes, I will marry you, and they burst forth in tears. How many of us did that? Probably none. But of course, we showed our emotions in many different ways. And here is a man in love, and is not ashamed to show his emotions towards this woman that he loves. And immediately he kisses her, and a kiss is a sign of affection. And I think in this context, probably it is not just a mere greeting, but there is a lot more that was going on in the chemistry of Jacob towards Rachel. And when that moment comes for all of us who are men, you know what love means and what it begins to say to you and what turmoil and confusion erupts within you when you fall in love. And here is a man who has fallen in love, and then we are told he weeps. Why does he weep? Why does he cry? I think he weeps because he is now so filled with the joy of the Spirit over the providence of God in bringing him to this place, and then bringing him to this very person that he might marry in future. And he was so pleased with what he saw and with what God has done, and he was overjoyed with it that he couldn't help himself but cry. He was an emotional man. And he appreciates the great providence of God. in a deeply emotional way. It could be something that you did when you went back home. You opened the door to your apartment or to your room if you are still in college or university, and you shut the door behind you and you pumped the fist into the yes, it's all mine! And you did some press-ups if you are as athletic as some people are. And Jacob weeps. Weeps at meeting this lady. And you know, you have to be a very, very poor Christian if there have not been times in your life when you have felt just as Jacob has. When you have not felt the way Jacob felt. Experiences of life that have been so wonderful that you cannot do anything but weep over the things that God has brought into your life, including a woman and a man into your life. Sometime in April, I was still a student at Tika. I was invited to attend a wedding of one of our friends, one of the graduates from Tika, and I attended that wedding. It was just like any other wedding that I had attended before. And it so happened that there was another student from another institution who was also attending the same wedding. And we happened to walk away from the wedding at the same time. We happened to board the same minibus. And we happened to sit on the same seat in the minibus. Wow, from Chinama. And we talked briefly. She got off the minibus at the Yunza bus stop and I proceeded into town because I was going to Emmasdale. The providence of God arranging that I should attend a wedding and end up on the same seat in a minibus with a lady who eventually gets to be my wife. And you cannot be happy about that and rejoice over that? Well, pull me aside one of these days and I'll tell you the rest of the story. It's not for the sermon. So here is Jacob in love, and his emotions are pouring forth tears of joy. He has not even proposed. Well, very quickly then, fourthly, a man in love would gladly endure everything for the sake of his beloved. A man in love would gladly endure everything. The meeting at the well was simply the beginning of a great love story. Weaved in the annals of heaven and unfolding in time and space. And clearly we can see that there is something very special that is going on here. And then we see the verbal agreement later on between Jacob and his uncle Laban in verse 15 to 19. And essentially the agreement is simply this. I know you are my relative, but you cannot work for me for nothing. So say the wages and I'll make good. And what does Jacob ask for? I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. That's what I'll do. I will labor 7 years for her. And then we come to the wage in verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. Now, doesn't that sound unusual? When your favorite team is leading by a lone goal, and the fourth official lifts the banner to indicate how many minutes of added time they will play after the 90 minutes are over. 5 minutes by a lone goal in a cup final, and you are saying to yourself, these 5 minutes are like an eternity. When will they come to an end?
And then the relief when the referee finally blows the final whistle. And in those 5 minutes, there has been a relenting attack towards the side of your team. And 3 attempts at goal that almost went in if it were not for the goalkeeper who was so acrobatic. But those 5 minutes are like an eternity. Now, the opposite is being said here about Jacob. He served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days. 7 years seemed like a few days, not like an eternity. When will they come to an end? When will I have a... When? It seemed like a few days. And he endured those 7 years because he knew what was at the end. By the way, it was not 7 years. It turned out to be 14 because he was gongat. In the same way that he deceived his older brother, his uncle Laban also deceived him. On the night of the wedding, Rachel, as he believed, was given to him. And in the morning when he woke up, as the light diffused into the room, he discovered it was not Rachel but Leah. What? No way! What is this that you have done? No way! I mean, Kasoko would have complained bitterly against the Lumba family if he, after unveiling her, he discovers it's not Victoria. He would have looked at me straight in the eye and said, Pastor, what is going on? No, we can't continue. And you'd have told his parents and his men, let's get out of here. Leah! And Laban says, God is using Laban to teach Jacob a lesson, but that's for another time. Now, custom, young man, we don't marry off the younger daughter before the older daughter gets married. So if you want Rachel, you have both Leah and Rachel, but you have to wait another 7 years for Rachel. No ways! Yes, you will. And he did. 14 years. If 7 years just ran by as if they were days, the additional 7 years were like minutes. Why? He's prepared to face everything, endure everything for the love of his life. He loves us so much that time stands still. No, time moves so fast. Some of you have been married for barely months, or probably a year or two. And you are already wishing eternity should come immediately. Did you marry someone that you loved? Did you? So here is Jacob enduring everything. There is nothing more beautiful in any romantic literature than the statement that we find in verse 20. These days seemed to him but a few days. Why? Because of his love for her. There he was laboring, looking after his uncle's sheep, his future in-law's sheep, and he's laboring, and who passes, who brings him a cup of cold water? It is Rachel, and she smiles at him. And he says to himself, my day will come, my time will come. You don't have to second guess whether these two were looking forward to this day. You don't have to. They were. Those of you who are married, you know how long you looked forward to the day when the officiating minister will pronounce you husband and wife. And so, dazzled by this woman that he meets at the well, he falls in love with her, and he wants to spend time with her. He wants to impress her with what he's capable of doing. He's not ashamed to show his emotions to her, and he will gladly endure everything for her sake, if only he will have her. And there was a time when Kasoko cast his eyes upon Vicky and he concluded, that is the one for her, for him. That is the one for me. And as we Kaonde say, Wataine Mwanamkaji Walamba Waswamema Kaonde Wakine Mikunda Wakaonde Gavichi. And so you stand by that beauty. I'll give you the interpretation at the end. Stand by that beauty. And that's the reason why we are here now. Because of that love. And willing to wait. Even when frowning providence came along the way with the bereavement of the matriarch of the family. Say, yes, we can move the wedding to another day. Another weekend. If you had told them, well, probably postpone for a month, they would have been frowning a bit and said, well, we can wait, and that would have seemed like minutes. Enduring for the sake of love. Well, incidentally, this is an illustration of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for the church. Almost all of the commentators comment upon this very fact, because here is Jacob, who is illustrative of the Lord Jesus Christ, serving. Why? Because he loved Rachel. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of God, has carried out his work of atonement. He has accomplished salvation for us because of his love for the church. He loved the church and gave himself for her. And Jacob is a person who served that he might be united with Rachel in that deepest of unions. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to serve that he might unite us to himself in an even deeper union than the union of marriage. Have you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been joined to him? Joined to the Lord Jesus Christ in that mystical saving union, because he has carried out the work of atonement so that we might have the confidence and the security of his love. And if we want that security, if we want a sense of truly belonging to him, then we have to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and experience his love for us and allow the grace of God to be poured forth into our hearts. That is how we come to be joined together with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a true picture, a magnificent picture of Christ's love for us. He endured the cross, paid the price for the sins that he never committed, so that we undeserving sinners might be saved by his grace. Kasoko and Victoria, may such be the union that you will know as you begin this journey together. May that be the love that you will experience and enjoy for the rest of the lives that God is going to give to you. And learn to endure all for the sake of your beloved. Because Christ has commanded you to love your wife in the same manner that he loves his church and gave himself up for her. Amen. Let us pray. Father, may you bless these words to our hearts and let them find room in us, and especially that you might speak to those that do not know you, that they might be joined in love to yourself, the Savior of sinners, and that the span of love might be something that they will see and know and embrace. For your love is great for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.